Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy to have you in the 7 o'clock hour. And thanks to all of you who have joined us this morning in the chat there on Facebook, as we've responded to a lot of that stuff. And we're always taking your phone calls here on the new Odyssey app, because there's a little microphone button on there, and you can leave us your thoughts on a lot of these issues. And maybe high on your list of questions this morning is, how fair will CNN be tonight when it comes to asking hard questions to one Kamala Harris? Her campaign's been dribbling out information supposedly on her new tax plan. You know, suddenly she's into tax cuts. Can you imagine that? A Democrat encouraging tax cuts? She might not eliminate the Trump tax cuts after all.
Yeah, I think the question you posed earlier for people to voice on the Odyssey app would be, what's the number one question you hope Dana Bash asks? Mine would probably be, first of all, I guess it's a two-part question. Why have you not released any really of your policies? And why are you flip-flop, the ones you have kind of talked about, why have you flip-flopped on them?
Yeah, it's a good one.
What would yours be?
Probably, I would say, how do you react to the fact that Donald Trump has invited the former San Francisco mayor's wife to be at the debate? The one you cheated on him with when they were married years ago? That would be a good question for her.
Is that for real?
I'm just kidding.
I'm like, did he really invite her?
Remember when he debated Hillary back in 2016, he invited the four women, yes, who'd accused Bill Clinton of sexual impropriety and rape in some cases to be at the debate. And they were all seated just off the stage there where he had to stare at him. There's this great picture of him kind of giving him the side eye at some point, right?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, I did hear he had invited her to the debate, so I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe an internet rumor. We'll see.
I don't know.
Anyway, coming up, we're going to talk more about the CNN event that is tonight. Carl said he believes it's at 8 o'clock St. Louis
time. That's what I had heard.
So it's going to be
enough time to edit.
Thank you. They're recording it today to air tonight, which means they are going to be running interference potentially for Kamala and her word salad. We'll find out more on that coming up here in a few minutes. We're going to talk to former Senator Jim Talent, and a little later, more on the proposals that are being dripped out by the Harris campaign, including price controls and the reaction from grocers to that. Jerry Willis from Fox Business is going to join us here at 7:35. So first, I want to get to this morning's top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Kamala Harris is so asleep at the wheel that she won't even do an investigation into what happened, and she wants to yell at Donald Trump because he showed up. She can go to hell.
Yeah, that's not going over very well, apparently, according to the mainstream media. How dare you? It's like that Greta Thunberg bite. How dare you say that about the vice president of the United States? Well, they're fed up with these petty things they want to talk about, considering the fact that 13 Americans died in Afghanistan at that base because of your incompetence.
Tim is there to help prop her up, and if it gets awkward or she starts giggling or look crazy, that he's going to interrupt and take over, and then they're going to go back and stop the tape and maybe retape that question to make sure that she looks fantastic.
Yeah, Governor Kristi Noem is exactly right. There's only one reason you would need your sidekick to be in this interview. People don't need to hear from him. They need to hear from her, but you can bet you'll hear... I'll bet it'll be 50-50 Tim Walz tonight. Just watch. Wait for it.
She confronted that social studies teacher, asking him, hey, why do you have a Palestinian flag hanging up but not an Israeli one? She says that's when the conversation took a turn.
This story developing in Kirkwood, the administration can't comment on it because it's an ongoing investigation. There's nothing ongoing about it. A teacher flying a Palestinian flag in his classroom and then told somebody that when they brought up the Holocaust, that was their version of events. That's unacceptable, and that teacher needs to be fired.
Ted Drews Jr., the face of frozen custard for decades in St. Louis, with a guarantee it really is good, guys and gals, passed away Monday.
Yeah, very sad news there. We learned yesterday that just a St. Louis icon, Ted Drews Jr., and I don't even know that I ever knew about the Jr. I just knew him as Ted Drews, right? And obviously the namesake of the founder died at the age of 96. Now, I met him a time or two when he would come down to Channel 4 over the years, the last 30 years when he was a major media figure in advertising on TV and radio and all those stuff. I can't say that I know him, but I certainly met him a couple times. And just as friendly in person, we brought Sue Thomas in on this conversation because for her program that airs on the weekends, she has just did an interview with his son-in-law? Is that right?
Yeah, his son-in-law, his daughter, Kristi, Ted Drews Jr.'s daughter, Kristi, married Travis Dillon, and they are the current owners of Ted Drews. And Travis goes through the entire life of Ted Drews Sr. and Jr. and Ted Drews in general. I mean, including the Christmas trees, Mark. I mean, they actually bought land on which they grew the Christmas trees because they were trying to figure out how to keep income for the family during the winter.
Oh, yeah, wow. They're only closed for a month now.
Yeah. And it's a fascinating story, and what COVID did to the owning of places in Canada, because you had to cross the border, and that became difficult. But it's a really interesting story, and it's a really wonderful family. So it's definitely worth a listen. It's on at 6 a.m. on Sunday and then 6 p.m. on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's just one of those places where, if someone's coming to St. Louis, you would tell them, oh, you have to go to Ted Drews.
Oh, you still do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here, I actually pulled up a clip from that you had on with Reardon yesterday. Let's listen to just a brief clip here. Hang on. Carl, are we having audio difficulties over there?
Not on my end.
Okay, guess who did that? Here we go. Let's try it again.
First of all, he was in the Naval Reserves. Ted Jr. went to WashU, by the way.
Oh, okay.
And he majored in English and political science.
Wow.
In history. But besides that, he was knowledgeable on marketing. It was a minor in marketing. And so when Ted Jr. came along in the stores, he started working at 14, but he had great ideas. And
yeah, Sue, I love this. I don't have time to play the whole thing, but they said that he used to tell everybody, if a car drives by, there's a chance they might stop.
That's right.
If you think they're going to... You beat them to the window. You get there before the customer walks up.
That's exactly right, Mark. And to this day, this family is so great. To this day, if you walk up to the window at a Ted Drews location, they are on it.
Yeah,
these are the most efficient kids I've ever seen working. It's kids and adults because some people have worked there forever. And he says they hire people who could do the math in their head.
Sure.
It's just an incredible story.
He pays for their college, too.
Oh, wow. Really?
It's a wonderful around, place.
They're like the Chick-fil-A of frozen custard, just kinda, that efficient. I didn't realize that they opened the first location in Florida until I was reporting on this story. I'm like, wow, and then they brought it to St. Louis a year later.
Right, and that was because Ted Sr. was a great tennis player, and in the winter he would play in Florida. And someone down there, a friend of his, said, hey, can you come up with a custard or something for us down here? So he did. And then he brought it back to St. Louis, and it had multiple locations. Started in North County, and then now we have the two, one on Grand and one on Chippewa. But when Chippewa was part of Route 66, which kind of took different routes through St. Louis, it really became a big deal.
And still is to this day. Yep. Sue, thank you. People can listen into that interview this weekend here, and we appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, coming up. Former Senator Jim Talent, we'll get his take on this dribbling out of policies that might or might not happen with the Harris administration. And also Jerry Willis, who went out and talked to a few grocery store owners and their concerns over her price gouging legislation. We'll be back in just a minute.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Supreme Court just froze Biden's $1 billion student loan bailout. The bailout was supposed to bribe young voters to vote for the Harris-Biden campaign, but the Supreme Court says bribing voters before an election won't work.
We've got former Senator Jim Talent on the phone right now. Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark.
So the Supreme Court had to step in again and slap down this effort to just erase debt that people took on, bad debt in a lot of cases, or debt that's lingered for many years that they couldn't pay, all in, I think, a bald-faced attempt to buy votes. But this is the second time now the Supreme Court has told Joe Biden, you can't do that.
Yeah, they left the lower court injunctions in place. Was that, by the way, I should know, I should recognize, was that J.D. Vance who said that, or was the clip you did?
The clip that I aired was actually Jesse Waters announcing that as breaking news yesterday.
Okay, so, right.
Yeah.
Sounds a little bit like Vance.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Mark, I think given the fact that Barack Obama, when he was president, said, look, I don't have the authority to forgive student loans without Congress acting. Nancy Pelosi said the same thing. I believe Biden said that at some point. I do think we're entitled to infer a political motive from the fact that all of a sudden they discovered this authority. And I'll just tell you, look, this issue has been around a long time, and I actually think Congress should address it. I don't think it should be addressed in the way Biden wants to. I think Congress ought to identify that group of people who are laboring under the most debt. I mean, it's the same way you would approach a sort of a bankruptcy reform, right?
Right.
But the president doesn't have any authority to do this. I mean, we were discussing this when I was in the, which was some time ago now, okay? And nobody thought the president could get up and issue a decree. That's not how the system works. Now, I know everybody's frustrated with the Congress, but, you know, it's not like Biden or Obama spent a lot of political capital trying to get Congress to do something. They didn't think it was important enough. I don't recall it being in the State of the Union addresses.
Wow.
Or, you know, in other words, so now all of a sudden, so yeah, I think we're entitled to believe that there's politics behind this. I mean, I probably bet good American money on that.
Tell me if I'm wrong here. That money corrupted the college system. In other words, once these universities learned there was an unlimited amount of money available, if they just got people to apply for it, there were no background checks, there were no nothing, you were just handed a student loan, the money went to the university, that's when expenses at universities doubled and then doubled again, and the cost of going to college got out of control because we just hand the money out like candy.
Hand the loans out, yeah.
The loans,
yes. I think that link has been pretty clearly established, and it certainly makes common sense. I mean, in other words, whenever you subsidize, you're increasing demand when you're subsidizing purchases like that in any area, and you would expect prices to go up. I don't think it's the only reason tuition has risen. Another big part of the reason is they're hiring so many administrators. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the figures.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not talking now about the University of Missouri system, although, that they probably have a problem, but nowhere near what these elite colleges have, where they've hired administrators, not faculty. And so tuition's gone up. And yes, I think the student loan program is linked to that. All those subjects are very much worth addressing, and I think it's a subject Congress ought to address. But again, you can't just get up and issue decrees if you're the president. You have to ask Congress to actually pass laws, and you have to undertake the task of getting them to do it, which Biden signally failed to do and Harris failed to do. And so now I think it's very fair to say they're trying to buy votes.
Well, It'll be interesting to see if any of this comes up tonight in the CNN debate. I mean, what are the odds that any tough questions are asked? And if tough questions are asked, what are the odds that Tim Walz will bail out Kamala Harris if she starts wandering and talking in circles?
Well, I think, you're correct that Walz is there as her security blanket.
Yeah.
But and you guys are it's your business. You're in the journalism business, not me. But I think the way Harris has acted the last 3 or 4 weeks, hiding like this, flip-flopping with no explanation, in many cases not even announcing the flip-flop herself, having her staff do it, I think that's a foul. That's an offense against the press. That's how I'd read it if I was in the press, against the public and against the process. And I think what Bash ought to do is cross-examine her on that. And I mean be very strong on those issues right up front. Ask her why she's been hiding, why she felt she had to bring Governor Walz to the first interview she did after a month, okay? And why she believes the American people should trust anything she says, given that she's flip-flopped on so many things. I guarantee you, I ran in 3 very high-profile, gut-wrenching campaigns. If I had acted like this, the press would have been all over me, and they would have been right. That's what I would be preparing for. But I don't think she's going to do that. I do think she's going to do her she's going to treat her as she doesn't deserve and ask her questions on the merits. But I expect her to ask some tough questions enough so she doesn't look like a sycophant.
Boy, I hope you're right, Jim. We'll have all the details for tomorrow. Thanks for your time this morning.
You are welcome.
Yep. Dana Bash risks being excommunicated at CNN if she asks too many tough questions. That's for sure. We'll talk about her price control plan coming up. Can't wait to see Satch play this on Saturday night. It's not easy to stand up and imitate a rock god like Eddie Van Halen.
If you're going to have somebody do it,
Joe Satriani is the man.
He's the one to do it.
Ah, can't wait. We're already planning our pre-gaming for Saturday night. We've already bought passes to ride on the shuttle from Hollywood Casino over there. Save us a little bit of time on the back end, but probably not much. Traffic could be a nightmare getting out of Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. For sure. All right. Enough about my weekend plans, but Carl, thank you for the fantastic bump music of the set list.
This is song number
Saturday
7.
Night. I know. Ah, nice. All right. Of course, we might find out a little bit more. My guess is we're going to get broad statements instead of clear policy ideas from Kamala Harris tonight in this whole thing and what's going to happen. Here's one thing that Kamala Harris did tell us just the other day.
I will go after the bad actors, and I will work to pass the first ever federal ban on price gauging on food.
Now, she misspoke there. I don't even think she was aware that she misspoke there, but what she's talking about are price controls. And the people affected most by that are grocers. And Jerry Willis is joining us this morning, giving us a few minutes from her time there on Fox Business Network. Jerry, how are you?
I'm good today. I'm actually at a grocery store, Stu Leonard's. I'm in Westchester, New York, in Yonkers, and been talking to the owner of Stu Leonard's, Stu Leonard himself, about this idea of capping controlling prices and what it might mean.
Yeah, you know, I've always heard that grocery stores they operate on a fairly small margin. I mean, when price increases there are driven by what they're having to pay for the food, and there's not a huge markup, right?
Oh, my goodness. It's 1.5% to 2% at the tippy top, right? So typically, one of these fellows is making, you know, a penny and a half on every dollar. There's not much to cut. There's not a lot of room to cut prices. I'm astonished by the idea that we would institute a federal system of controls on prices. We tried this back in the Nixon administration in the 70s. And what happened was this. I think it's fascinating. I'm fascinated by economic history. Prices were up 4.3%. That was considered way too much. Of course, you know, we've experienced more than that lately, right?
Right.
So they put in price controls, huge federal bureaucracy to control prices at every level on everything, including wages. What happened? Inflation spiraled out of control to 12%. So it's just not workable, and all you have to do is look at history to understand it.
You know, the last part of that statement she made the other day was about price controls, right, and what she wants to do, and she's going to stop people from sticking it to you. And I heard Elizabeth Warren, the senator, arguing that, well, there are a number of states that have done this successfully, but correct me if I'm wrong, Jerry, those price control issues are to keep retailers during a hurricane from charging $600 for a generator instead of $200,
it's very limited
food.
Limited in scope, right? I mean, you know, very, you know, small, not big. In the store I'm in today alone, there are 2,000 different products, 2,000 SKUs. And the owner asked me, well, Jerry, what if I wanted to lower prices because I had too much lettuce and I want to get rid of it? Would I be allowed to do that? You know, he is also shopping goods that he thinks are better and cost more. So he's not necessarily buying the cheapest cherries on the market because they're terrible.
Right.
He wants to deliver a better product. So would that not be allowed under such a regime? It's astonishing to me the complexity she wants to take on with this. And I just don't understand why anybody would think this is a good idea. Do they not have any economic brains in the White House right now? I'm astonished.
I know Mark Cuban is a big liberal, but I was surprised with his knowledge in the financial world that he came to her defense and was like, no, that's not what she's talking about here. She's not really going to do this. It's not going to have the impact that all of you are trying to say it will.
Well, who would know, right? Because we don't have chapter and verse on her views. Nobody knows. She hasn't sat down and done the big interview yet. We're still waiting for that. Even the website for the campaign doesn't have chapter and verse on what they're trying to do. So when that happens, you have to guess. And it means that there's a lot of confusion out there. People are concerned. Look, the last time we tried actual price controls, we went into recession, a very deep recession. And we also had shortages of food and gas, if you'll remember that. It was not a good situation.
Well, your grocer there, I mean, it can only suffer losses for so long. If he's frozen on what he can charge and the prices for his product go up for him to buy it, he's not going to be in business very long. And then that neighborhood grocery store is gone. And what do people do? I mean, look what they did in Venezuela. They had to go shopping for food at the zoo.
That's absolutely right. Well, you bring up a good point. This kind of command and control regime is typically something you see in a far left country, right? It's something that's put in place by dictators, not in a democracy, a functioning democracy. The whole idea to me is strange. And I don't know, I'm confused by where they're taking the economics for this next 4 years if they manage to win the White House.
I mean,
go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I was going to say, to Mark's point, I mean, you could create food deserts that they're already trying to deal with, right? These neighborhoods, these areas that don't have any grocery store in close proximity. You think about the control going on in California where they increase the minimum wage to $20 an hour. I just read yesterday Shake Shack's closing 6 California locations because it can't afford that for its employees.
Wow. So it's the cost of labor that's going up, up, up. It's also the cost of inputs. You know, the ranchers are saying that their inputs are going up as well. So when it comes to meat, when it comes to dairy, all these areas are facing price pressures from below. You know, it's possible that some provider somewhere is trying to pay for Taylor Swift tickets and jacking up their prices. But as Stu Leonard was telling me, hey, look, I deal with a lot of small and medium-sized businesses, farmers who are supplying our stores, and they're not jacking up prices. They're just trying to sell their goods, their merchandise.
Yeah, it's a good point. Jerry, I want to respect your time here. If you were the moderator today, and you had Kamala Harris sitting next to you, what would be your number one question for her in regards to what she wants to do to the economy?
What are you going to do about inflation? You know, it's cumulative. That's why people complain about it. The numbers have come down, but it's still growing, right? It hasn't gone negative. So all of that inflation we saw over the last 18 months, it builds on itself. And that's why people are so upset. What are you going to do about that? Is it price controls? And if so, how?
Yeah, how does that work? Jerry Willis.
I would love to have that interview. I would love to do that.
I would agree with that completely. Jerry, we appreciate your time. We'll look for you on the Fox Business Network. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. Jerry Willis there, who's been around for a long time. I think she's been with Fox since 2010. So she's been working at Fox for a long time, and she's been a financial reporter. I mean, when people like that, you hear are baffled, and we have our friend from Fox Business we had on yesterday,
Taylor Riggs,
who's baffled by it. Mm-hmm. These are people who understand economics, who've gone to school and studied the classes, and then you've got politicians who are simply pandering to people who don't understand how the economy works. They can't see past their wallet. They're going to give me something for free. They're going to control how much they can charge me for my loaf of bread. They think that's a good thing. It's frightening.
I mean, that just tells you, though, how obsessed is probably a strong word, but maybe not obsessed Mark Cuban is with Kamala Harris, how loyal he is to her, because that guy is so smart, or he wouldn't be in the situation that he's in. He clearly understands economics. You will not convince me otherwise. So for him to come out and try to defend that is mind blowing.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing about it. Mark Cuban now has blank you money, so he doesn't care. None of her policies are going to impact. Can't wait to see Satch play this on Saturday night. It's not easy to stand up and imitate a rock god like Eddie Van Halen.
If you're going to have
Joe
somebody
Satriani
do it,
Satriani is the man.
He's the one to do it.
Can't wait. We're already planning our pre-gaming for Saturday night. We've already bought passes to ride on the shuttle from Hollywood Casino over there. Save us a little bit of time on the back end, but probably not much. Traffic could be a nightmare getting out of Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. For sure. All right. Enough about my weekend plans, but Carl, thank you for the fantastic bump music of the set list.
This is song number
Saturday
7.
Night. I know. Ah, nice. All right. You know, of course, we might find out a little bit more. My guess is we're going to get broad statements instead of clear policy ideas from Kamala Harris tonight in this whole thing and what's going to happen. Here's one thing that Kamala Harris did tell us just the other day.
I will go after the bad actors, and I will work to pass the first ever federal ban on price gauging on food.
Now, she misspoke there. I don't even think she was aware that she misspoke there, but what she's talking about are price controls. And the people affected most by that are grocers. And Jerry Willis is joining us this morning, giving us a few minutes from her time there on Fox Business Network. Jerry, how are you?
I'm good today. I'm actually at a grocery store, Stu Leonard's. I'm in Westchester, New York, in Yonkers, and been talking to the owner of Stu Leonard's, Stu Leonard himself, about this idea of capping controlling prices and what it might mean.
Yeah, you know, I've always heard that grocery stores they operate on a fairly small margin. I mean, when price increases there are driven by what they're having to pay for the food, and there's not a huge markup, right?
Oh, my goodness. It's 1.5% to 2% at the tippy top, right? So typically, one of these fellows is making, you know, a penny and a half on every dollar. There's not much to cut. There's not a lot of room to cut prices. I'm astonished by the idea that we would institute a federal system of controls on prices. We tried this back in the Nixon administration in the 70s. And what happened was this. I think it's fascinating. I'm fascinated by economic history. Prices were up 4.3%. That was considered way too much. Of course, you know, we've experienced more than that lately, right?
Right.
So they put in price controls, huge federal bureaucracy to control prices at every level on everything, including wages. What happened? Inflation spiraled out of control to 12%. So it's just not workable, and all you have to do is look at history to understand it.
You know, the last part of that statement she made the other day was about price controls, right, and what she wants to do, and she's going to stop people from sticking it to you. And I heard Elizabeth Warren, the senator, arguing that, well, there are a number of states that have done this successfully, but correct me if I'm wrong, Jerry, those price control issues are to keep retailers during a hurricane from charging $600 for a generator instead of $200, not
controlling
food.
Limited in scope, right? I mean, you know, very, you know, small, not big. In the store I'm in today alone, there are 2,000 different products, 2,000 SKUs. And the owner asked me, well, Jerry, what if I wanted to lower prices because I had too much lettuce and I want to get rid of it? Would I be allowed to do that? You know, he is also shopping goods that he thinks are better and cost more. So he's not necessarily buying the cheapest cherries on the market because they're terrible, right? He wants to deliver a better product. So would that not be allowed under such a regime? It's astonishing to me the complexity she wants to take on with this, and I just don't understand why anybody would think this is a good idea. Do they not have any economic brains in the White House right now? I'm astonished.
I know Mark Cuban is a big liberal, but I was surprised with his knowledge in the financial world that he came to her defense and was like, no, that's not what she's talking about here. She's not really going to do this. It's not going to have the impact that all of you are trying to say it will.
Well, who would know, right? Because we don't have chapter and verse on her views. Nobody knows. She hasn't sat down and done the big interview yet. We're still waiting for that. Even the website for the campaign doesn't have chapter and verse on what they're trying to do. So when that happens, you have to guess. And it means that there's a lot of confusion out there. People are concerned. Look, the last time we tried actual price controls, we went into recession, a very deep recession. And we also had shortages of food and gas, if you'll remember that. It was not a good situation.
Well, your grocer there, I mean, it can only suffer losses for so long. If he's frozen on what he can charge and the prices for his product go up for him to buy it, he's not going to be in business very long. And then that neighborhood grocery store is gone. And what do people do? I mean, look what they did in Venezuela. They had to go shopping for food at the zoo.
That's absolutely right. Well, you bring up a good point. this kind of command and control regime is typically something you see in a far left country, right? It's something that's put in place by dictators, not in a democracy, a functioning democracy. The whole idea to me is strange. And I don't know, I'm confused by where they're taking the economics for this next 4 years if they manage to win the White House.
I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt. I was going to say, to Mark's point, I mean, you could create food deserts that they're already trying to deal with, right? These neighborhoods, these areas that don't have any grocery store in close proximity. You think about the control going on in California where they increase the minimum wage to $20 an hour. I just read yesterday Shake Shack's closing 6 California locations because it can't afford that for its employees.
Wow. So it's the cost of labor that's going up, up, up. It's also the cost of inputs. You know, the ranchers are saying that their inputs are going up as well. So when it comes to meat, when it comes to dairy, all these areas are facing price pressures from below. You know, it's possible that some provider somewhere is trying to pay for Taylor Swift tickets and jacking up their prices. But as Stu Leonard was telling me, hey, look, I deal with a lot of small and medium-sized businesses, farmers who are supplying our stores, and they're not jacking up prices. They're just trying to sell their goods, their merchandise.
Yeah, it's a good point. Jerry, I want to respect your time here. If you were the moderator today and you had Kamala Harris sitting next to you, what would be your number one question for her in regards to what she wants to do to the economy?
What are you going to do about inflation? You know, it's cumulative. That's why people complain about it. The numbers have come down, but it's still growing, right? It hasn't gone negative. So all of that inflation we saw over the last 18 months, it builds on itself. And that's why people are so upset. What are you going to do about that? Is it price controls? And if so, how?
Yeah, how does that work? Jerry Willis.
I would love to have that interview. I would love to do that.
I would agree with that completely. Jerry, we appreciate your time. We'll look for you on the Fox Business Network. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. Jerry Willis there, who's been around for a long time. I think she's been with Fox since 2010. So she's been working at Fox for a long time, and she's been a financial reporter. I mean, when people like that, you hear are baffled, and we have our friend from Fox Business we had on yesterday,
Taylor Riggs,
who's baffled by it. Mm-hmm. These are people who understand economics, who've gone to school and studied the classes, and then you've got politicians who are simply pandering to people who don't understand how the economy works. They can't see past their wallet. They're going to give me something for free. They're going to control how much they can charge me for my loaf of bread. They think that's a good thing. It's frightening.
I mean, that just tells you, though, how obsessed is probably a strong word, but maybe not obsessed Mark Cuban is with Kamala Harris, how loyal he is to her, because that guy is so smart, or he wouldn't be in the situation that he's in. He clearly understands economics. You will not convince me otherwise. So for him to come out and try to defend that is mind blowing.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing about it. Mark Cuban now has blank you money, so he doesn't care. None of her policies are going to impact his bottom line. Right. So he's a limousine liberal who can afford to support these policies that are going to crush small business across the country.
It'll tax them more, but he doesn't care.
It will crush them. Don't buy for a minute that what she's only going to increase, she's going to tax unrealized gains, but only on people that have $100 million. Ask yourself this question. Of all the people you've worked for in your life, how many poor people have you worked for? You haven't.
Right.
Because they can't afford to hire you. Taxing people out of prosperity is not a way to lead to prosperity. It just doesn't make any sense. You want to go out and penalize these people because the big green jealousy monster tells you we need to somehow take what they've earned and redistribute it. We don't live in a communist society. We live in a capitalist society. We should encourage people to go become successful. Because they spend that money and they start businesses and they employ people, and that's what you want. This is the opposite of common sense. And I hope somebody's got the guts to ask Kamala Harris some hard questions tonight. These are the questions that need to be asked for sure. Kim, what do we got coming up?
Well, we discussed this story earlier, and I've already received quite a bit of response to it. Not the best in some ways. We did receive a message on the Odyssey app. You can, too. We're talking about this man. He was a sperm donor kid. Turns out he has dozens of siblings.
How does that even happen? We're going to get to that for you coming up.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
I came across this story that really caught my attention. It's about a college student, Ben Sanderson, knew he was conceived using a sperm donor. His mom said, when you turn 18, you can start searching for your biological father and any potential siblings that you had. So he did. So what they did together was they logged on to the sperm bank's website. And I guess on that website, there's a sibling registry and chat rooms where siblings from the same donor, if they choose, can leave messages to potentially connect with one another.
And did we determine how that happens? Like, you are the offspring of donor number 678910, and then there's a chat room for offspring of donor number 678910.
It has to be, because there's no way they would have the father's name.
Well, I mean, I guess not.
Unless somehow he was reaching out, but there has to be some sort of barrier in place where that can happen too. Like, the sperm donor can't just start reaching out to the kid and being like, oh, you're my child, you know what I mean?
Then there was a movie about a guy that's had like 1,000 children around
Netflix,
the world or something, right?
Man with 1,000 kids, right, or something like that. That guy was around the world donating to all these sperm banks, because from what I've read, they suggest, you shouldn't donate more than this number of times here in the United States, but there's no official cap. Some other countries have caps on the number of times you can donate. Well, turns out this guy has 40 siblings, so he's number 41, and he's been able to connect with them, and I guess he's even been able to connect with his dad.
He just turned 18, so he could have other ones that are younger that haven't come forward yet.
He could have another 40. Wow. I mean, yeah, that's true. How old is the dad who's been donating? Is he still doing that?
Been a busy beaver, hasn't he?
Well, yes, he has. Yes, he has. Let me just preface it with this. I know this is a touchy topic. I cannot tell you how much my heart breaks for parents who want kids so badly and they can't. I cannot even imagine. Okay, that would be devastating. Personally, I don't like this. I don't like the idea that you can just go donate to a sperm bank and then this kid grows up, they have no idea who their biological parents are. Sure, maybe there's situations where they grow up thinking that the dad who raised them is their biological father and the parents just choose to never tell them. I don't know. But I do believe that people innately want to know where they came from. And I do think that this could cause some trauma. And I just think that we're experimenting with children in a way that we've never seen. And you could talk about that as it relates to abortion. And I'm obviously not saying this is the same, but I'm just making the comment that kids are now a social experiment. I do want to play a clip that we got on the Odyssey app from someone earlier this morning.
I guess there was a rule created that said you get every single thing in life that you want, regardless of the cost to others. People can't seem to live with disappointment anymore.
That was Camille, right, Carl? Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for your message. I mean, I think she makes a good point. And I know this is controversial. I already received a message on Facebook that, you know, staunchly against my thoughts on this. And I get that. You have every right to vehemently disagree with what I'm saying. I'm just voicing my opinion.
Yeah. And it's fair. I mean, I think there are a lot of options out there. This one has developed into an industry, though, that has some dangerous consequences. When one person can father 41 or 42 different children, at least two of these siblings were in high school together.
And didn't know
it. What if they had dated and gotten married? I mean, at some point, there has to be some more responsibility on the part of either the parents who are choosing to use a sperm bank or the sperm bank itself.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe more regulation if they decide to keep that up. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, I don't.
But I agree with you. It's heartbreaking for people that have trouble conceiving.
Yeah.
And they're looking for options. This is an example of where it's gone terribly awry.
Right.
For a couple hundred bucks $100 to $150
per acceptable donation, they say. But think how many times you can donate.
Yeah. I don't know. They probably need to put some limits on that for sure. All right, coming up, we will get to Shannon Bream, Fox News Sunday. She had the big interview with the RFK Jr. this past weekend. Wonder what she's got planned for this week. We'll talk to her about 8:20. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com. Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
I came across this story that really caught my attention. It's about a college student, Ben Sanderson, knew he was conceived using a sperm donor. His mom said, when you turn 18, you can start searching for your biological father and any potential siblings that you had. So he did. So what they did together was they logged on to the sperm bank's website. And I guess on that website, there's a sibling registry and chat rooms where siblings from the same donor, if they choose, can leave messages to potentially connect with one another.
And did we determine how that happens? Like, you are the offspring of donor number 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then there's a chat room for offspring of donor number 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
It has to be, because there's no way they would have the father's name.
Well, I mean, I guess not.
Unless somehow he was reaching out, but there has to be some sort of barrier in place where that can happen too. Like, the sperm donor can't just start reaching out to the kid and being like, oh, you're my child. You know what I mean?
Then there was a movie about a guy that's had like 1,000 children around
Netflix,
the world or something, right?
Man with 1,000 kids, right, or something like that. That guy was around the world donating to all these sperm banks, because from what I've read, they suggest, you shouldn't donate more than this number of times here in the United States, but there's no official cap. Some other countries have caps on the number of times you can donate. Well, turns out this guy has 40 siblings, so he's number 41, and he's been able to connect with them, and I guess he's even been able to connect with his dad.
He just turned 18, so he could have other ones that are younger that haven't come forward yet.
He could have another 40. Wow. I mean, yeah, that's true. How old is the dad who's been donating? Is he still doing that?
Been a busy beaver, hasn't he?
Well, yes, he has. Yes, he has. Let me just preface it with this. I know this is a touchy topic. I cannot tell you how much my heart breaks for parents who want kids so badly and they can't. I cannot even imagine. Okay, that would be devastating. Personally, I don't like this. I don't like the idea that you can just go donate to a sperm bank and then this kid grows up, they have no idea who their biological parents are. Sure, maybe there's situations where they grow up thinking that the dad who raised them is their biological father and the parents just choose to never tell them. I don't know. But I do believe that people innately want to know where they came from. And I do think that this could cause some trauma. And I just think that we're experimenting with children in a way that we've never seen. And you could talk about that as it relates to abortion. And I'm obviously not saying this is the same, but I'm just making the comment that kids are now a social experiment. I do want to play a clip that we got on the Odyssey app from someone earlier this morning.
I guess there was a rule created that said you get every single thing in life that you want, regardless of the cost to others. People can't seem to live with disappointment anymore.
That was Camille, right, Carl? Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for your message. I mean, I think she makes a good point. And I know this is controversial. I already received a message on Facebook that, you know, staunchly against my thoughts on this. And I get that. You have every right to vehemently disagree with what I'm saying. I'm just voicing my opinion.
Yeah. And it's fair. I mean, I think there are a lot of options out there. This one has developed into an industry, though, that has some dangerous consequences. When one person can father 41 or 42 different children, at least two of these siblings were in high school together.
And didn't know
it. What if they had dated and gotten married? I mean, at some point, there has to be some more responsibility on the part of either the parents who are choosing to use a sperm bank or the sperm bank itself.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe more regulation if they decide to keep that up. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, I don't.
But I agree with you. It's heartbreaking for people that have trouble conceiving.
Yeah.
And they're looking for options. This is an example of where it's gone terribly awry.
Right.
For a couple hundred bucks $100 to $150
per acceptable donation, they say. But think how many times you can donate.
Yeah, I don't know. They probably need to put some limits on that for sure. All right, coming up, we will get to Shannon Bream, Fox News Sunday. She had the big interview with the RFK Jr. this past weekend. Wonder what she's got planned for this week. We'll talk to her about 8:20. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.